I'm going to ask Jenny to come and pray for me, and I forgot to mention that to her, so if she looks a little startled at this point. Thank you, Jen.
Heavenly Father, ask for you to be with our hearts and minds as we listen to what Colin says. And we pray, Lord, that we will hear what you want us to hear. Colin will say the words you want, but we will hear. Yes, Colin, as he preaches today, because it's not easy sometimes with a sea of a mass in front of him. Pray, Lord, that you will.
Amen. Jen. Yeah, I think that, thank you. Yes, a little wave. That's nice. Yeah. I'm quite astonished by how hard I actually find it preaching to a group of people wearing masks, because I don't often think of myself as a sort of very people person. I'm like, well, surely it wouldn't make any difference to you, Colin. But clearly it does, because on the previous occasions I've been stood up here, I've really felt it. So I thought, you know, it'd be good. Well, Jenny said, you know, it would be good if you just mentioned it. Then people would know how you feel, and you'd probably feel better. She's right, of course. My wife, you know. So today we're looking at the next of the Proclaim series. And I better have the clicker so that I can click through my presentation as we go, for what it's worth. When I was looking at this, I thought, well, you know what? Down through the ages, I kind of feel that the church has made a bit of a mess of the rather excellent start that God made with his divine PR program that he put together. And the early church made a bit of a good start, but we've kind of messed up a bit since then. I don't know about you, but if you ask somebody what Christianity is about, I'm always surprised that really they tend to tell you it's about good behavior and various bits of moral conduct and things like that. And of course, we know that that's not the case. But I think the church has always given the impression that it's a sort of moralistic thing. You know, that we have to, that it's to sort of make us good. Well, I mean, there's a bit of truth in that, but that is definitely not what it's about. Then you go on and off, of course. So I was on, accompanying my teenage son on the recent online Alpha course, because he's a teenager, he couldn't be there by himself with a bunch of adults, so I had to be there. What a joy. Thank you, George. I don't know, I can never remember if it's the first or the second one where it talks about the love of God, and it happens every time. All these people who are interested in finding out about Christian faith are like, what? It's about God loving us. That's what Christianity is about. It's about God's love. God is a God of love, and he loves us. You mean he's not angry with us? He loves us. And every single time it happens, isn't it, George? There's all these people going, well, we never knew. We never knew this, that's what the Christian faith was about. It was about the love of God. We thought it was about being right and good and upright and stuff. And it sort of baffles me that we've kind of missold God, haven't we, as the church? His primary thing, and we can see it in lots of different ways, is that he is a God of love. And that's the great good news. He's God of love. He's not just a God of anger. We've sort of done what the Pharisees did in Jesus' time, haven't we? We've made faith into a moral code. And Jesus wasn't much impressed with them. I sometimes feel a little sorry for the Pharisees, because, you know, I do like rules and things. You know, I get it. But he really gives it to them both barrels. And with good reason, because that is not what it's about. So today we look at the Proclaim series from the perspective of the Messiahship of Jesus. Well, Jenny asked Alexa, you know, those electronic devices that listen out for any questions you might have. She said, what does the word Messiah mean? Alexa reasonably said, well, deliverer. So I immediately thought about the post office. I thought, yes, I know what a deliverer is. It's somebody you give your parcels to and they take it somewhere where you want it to go. The sort of anti-Messiah, the false Messiah side of this, from my perspective, I hasten to add only, is Hermes. I posted a whole package of Jenny's favorite things on Hermes to her last year. Disappeared into the ether, never to be seen again, all her favorite clothes, her watercolor pencils, her paper, just gone. Yeah, never arrived. Or UPS. Yeah, well, so we posted something to somebody in Germany, yeah? After 6 weeks, it got to within a few kilometers of the destination. After 6 weeks, it arrived back with us. So I wrote to her, to UPS and said, come on, guys, what are you doing? And they said, we'll deliver it tomorrow. Yeah, no, they won't, because we've got it now. Well, actually, we gave it to the post office and they delivered it to Germany. Thank you, post office, very good. So not that sort of deliverer. Yeah, I know I've been slightly sidetracked, but hey, not that sort of deliverer. The Messiah is the form of deliverer that I think, actually, is the desire of every human heart. One who is destined to step in and change a perilous situation that we find ourselves in. Everybody feels like they need a deliverer from time. Because we all get into some sort of mess, don't we, in our lives. That's how we come. And of course, there's lots of really favorite stories that involve deliverers. I mean, you know, you've got Harry Potter, you've got Tolkien's Bagginses, different forms of deliverers. It's a really common literary theme because we want to have somebody come in, step in, and sort out the mess. It's a really favorite theme from lots of films. One of my favorites is the 1999 Matrix and a couple of following ones. Great sci-fi stuff about a dystopian world where humans are held captive in pods. I don't know if any of you know this film, yeah? Probably those of us who like sci-fi know it well. And the idea is that all these humans are basically sort of a power source for the machines that are actually running the world. But they don't know it because they're being fed this matrix data, which gives them the impression that they are actually still out and about and free. So what happens is there's a few of these people who've escaped or have never been in bondage, but they're trying to find this one, the one they call him, who's going to actually have the ability to, within the matrix, to destroy it. It's a very, very common theme. It's something that we all love to think about. There's something in the theme of messianic prophecy that deeply, deeply appeals to the human psyche. And you know what? I don't think we can be very surprised about that. You know, I think we all know that real need. So today, we look at a proclamation from the early church. And the one crucial element of the early church's claims was that Jesus was the Messiah. That God of love stepped out of eternity became a finite human while still retaining his godness. And he takes the only action that can be taken to give us the freedom that we need. He doesn't come and offer us a strict moral code. If anything, he says, love God, love your neighbors. So just as God loves us, he wants us to reflect that back. And then he demonstrated his love for us by dying on the cross and proved his power to redeem us on that wonderful resurrection Sunday. He rose from death. In this passage that Jenny read, we hear of Paul and company going to the synagogue where Paul puts the life and death of Jesus into the context of the Jewish writings that they would be familiar with. He knew that they needed to understand the whole background. And it's actually an amazing passage. It sort of encapsulates so much of the Old Testament into a relatively short, although it's quite a long reading, into a relatively short set of passages. And then from that, he uses that as a wonderful springboard to help them to understand that Jesus is that Messiah that was promised. He is that deliverer that everybody is looking for. And he talks about the life and death of Jesus in that context, something that they would be familiar with. And I think that's such a really important point. He works from their context, and we need to remember that when we speak to others, we need to start from where they are. Our age is sort of an age of reason, logic, science, and tech. But at the same time, is also one of sort of paranoia and conspiracy theories. You know, we're an incredibly fractured society in a way. But we need to start where people are. We need to not be trying to present something that is rooted in the past. We need to start where they are. In the end, we're going to be wanting to take them back to something about the deliverer, the Messiah. If someone says that they're worried about the vaccine, they haven't had it because they've read all sorts of things, well, I think we'd each want to talk to them about that. We'd want to remind them the amazing work that vaccines have done in this world. Or more or less, I think it's actually a completely eradicated smallpox in the end. He eradicated it from our world. And that is such a great story to remember that, you know, if we hadn't had the smallpox vaccine back in the post-war period, there would be still massive amounts of death. I mean, COVID would look like child's play. So it's good to remember to just present things that are of the moment and to remind people to look at the good sources of information, to understand that the medical profession is actually really upright. I mean, you get the odd bad apple in anything, but just remembering that and to believe that we need to protect ourselves in order to protect others too. And all of those individual points, I believe, are stepping stones towards talking about the love of God. His creative genius, you know, the things that the scientists have managed to do is absolutely extraordinary. And that's because we have that same creative genius in us, because we are a mirror. He's made us in his image, and he's in the business of giving new life and freedom from sin and death and hell. That's God's job. That's how he sees it. So So there are good stepping stones that we can walk through. We can say the same about all sorts of different issues that are in the world. There are easy steps, I think. Well, I found it easy anyway, about talking about climate change with a neighbor and then moving on to God's love for our world and God's love for us. We all have our particular things that we know and talk about, and we just remember to use them. Take those contexts and use them to present something about the deliverer, the Messiah. There's a sense in which every serious conversation has the potential to be a route to sharing our story of how God's love has impacted our own lives and brought us freedom. Our testimony is that we're in the process of being freed. I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. I'm still struggling with lots of things in my life. That's just how I am. It's how you are. But what I know is that God has never given up on me. He is always in the business of transforming me. And, you know, every time I listen to a talk, and twice as much when I have to prepare one, I know that transformation is going on. My whole life feels like it has been this journey of change where God has been at work in me. Well, today is Father's Day. Amazingly, I got a card from a son. Has anybody ever heard of this happening? Sorry? Married son. Yeah, that does help. He was probably forced into it. But it doesn't feel very forced, actually. Yeah, because what he's done, he sent me this card. Happy Father's Day. You're the bee's knees, it says on the front. It is from a fairly cracker's son, I have to say. So, he listed lots of things that are, hang on, he listed lots of things that are positive about me. Pretty nice, isn't it? It's nice of him. He said, you're the donor of a very strange skill set and gene pool. Thanks very much. Yeah. He probably has a very strange skill set, just like me, yeah. Crisis management advisor, he said. Dad, he also said at the end. So, what struck me was that he very kindly didn't mention all the ways in which I'd failed him over the years. He didn't mention any of them. That was sweet of him. Yeah, he didn't say, and remember that day when I cut my knee and you didn't do anything about it, and so I've got this massive scar on my knee now. He didn't mention that one, although, you know, every time I see his knee, I do remember, maybe I should have done a little bit more about that. He didn't mention those. That's because he's my son, and he wanted to convey his love to me, which was great. But that reminded me of something really important, that we need to be that way with everybody. We need to remember seeing people's good points. And using those good points to encourage each other. Helping each other to start with what's good and not letting moralizing get in the way of faith. Not have that dismantling the relationships within the church. Because that's our way of being the body of Christ, to be encouraging to one another. It doesn't mean that occasionally there isn't a need to be honest with each other. Duncan is occasionally honest with me. Jenny certainly is. But that is right. We need to be encouraging for the most part, and then we earn the right to be able to have a chat about things that may be our problems. But the gospel is about being justified by faith and not being justified by our morality. And when Paul preached this freeing good news in the synagogue, they begged him to come back the next Sabbath day. I know that that has sometimes been my mistake. When I've given people the good news, I've given it in such a way that it's been a bit unpalatable. And we have to be careful. We start from where we are, yes, but we're presenting something that is wonderful and glorious and freeing. But sometimes, certainly slightly abrasive characters like me can do that in a way that they don't invite me to talk about it again. But we need to be gentle, gentle souls. Bless one another with the good news. And then bless those who we're seeking to reach with that good news. Bless them as well. Gentle words. So do you feel that you today have that deliverer? Do you have that Messiah? Feel that actually God's work in your life is really making a difference? To me, I've been Christian for about 50 years, and I think, Lord, you've made a very slow difference, but I can still see it happening. Let's all be seeking to see how we're changing and encourage one another when we see it. One of the things we've got to remember is that this God of love, he's shown that love by his enormous sacrifice. Sort of got lost in my presentation, didn't I? Oh well, there we go. Jesus would have gone to the cross if you were the only person who needed saving. But he planned it from the beginning of time for all people and for all time. Yet we can still sometimes feel oppressed, can't we? You can still sometimes feel a yearning to be satisfied by this life, rather than a yearning to be satisfied by the love of God. Sometimes we just feel fearful or untrusting. And that's just the way that our lives are. But then we need to turn and recall the wonderful messianic message that God is the deliverer, that Jesus can deliver us from all these things. Need to turn to him. So place your faith in the Lord Jesus and find freedom to live this life to the full. All allow the Messiah to deliver us today. Let us pray together for a moment. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the way that you took the risk of stepping out of heaven, living as a mortal human being while still retaining your godness, and went to the cross that we could be. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that you bought on the cross. And we thank you, Lord, for the proof of the power of your resurrection and for the gift of your Holy Spirit, which is poured into each one of us. Continue your work in our hearts as individuals, as a church here in West Kirby, and as your church throughout the world, that we may live to your praise and glory and reach out with the message of salvation to those around us, starting with the things that people care about, the context within which we live, and gently moving people towards you. We just thank you, Lord, for those who found faith on the Alpha Course. And we thank you that that reminds us again, Lord, that so many do not understand anything about this faith that we enjoy, the privilege that we enjoy. Enable us by your Spirit dwelling within us to give people a hint an idea, Lord, of what you offer through your great love. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray, use us in the places in which we live and work. In Jesus' name. Amen.